the Happy Afloat podcast, tales of family adventures at sea.
Hello and welcome aboard. Back for more? I am surprised you found us. More on that later. Boys, come on, shuffle up, make some room. Now, sit down and make yourself at home. I am Jason, skipper of Happy Afloat. Meet my crew. Leon.
Hello.
Conrad.
Ahoy there, shipmates.
And my lovely wife, Sarah.
Hello. Do you want to sail around the UK with your family? You do? Excellent. You are in the right place.
For the less adventurous, the napkin folding class is right next door.
Sailing a boat in UK waters is a great way of spending time with the family.
And we want a lot more families to take the plunge.
We've been passing on our knowledge and experience to kickstart your adventures.
So your family can start collecting the memories that will last a lifetime.
The sailing season is here at last.
Let's go sailing to a lovely anchorage.
But how do we get from A to B?
It's time to brush up on our navigation techniques.
Do we still remember how to sail beyond the river?
Yes.
Yes.
Just about.
Well, considering I do most of the tides, definitely.
The perfect plan?
Pop-up disclaimer time. We are not professionals telling you how to navigate. If you take our advice, it's your responsibility not to run aground.
We're just passing on what works for us.
With that said, our method can be summed up as...
belt,
braces,
and a bit of string just in case our trousers fall down.
We regularly pootle up and down the River Medway, so we know the river quite well.
However, we still take the time to plan the passage for every trip, be it a short trip up the river or actually escaping further afield.
Obviously, a familiar local trip will need less planning and detail than an epic passage.
But the first step is always the same. Where are we going to go?
This choice will be governed by the wind direction.
If the wind is not favourable, we choose a different destination or stay put until the weather changes.
When circumnavigating Britain, there is a debate about which way to go. Do you turn left or right?
We have tried both directions.
At the start of the last two circumnavigations of the UK, the decision to go clockwise or anti-clockwise was made on the day of departure.
Purely based on the forecasted wind direction for the next 7 days.
We would prefer to be sailing somewhere than doggedly sticking to a plan where the wind is working against us.
Why shouldn't we fight the wind?
Don't attack all the way up.
And if you're fighting the wind, it's a bit of an inconvenience when sailing across, breaking waves if the tide's with you, and if it's against you, you're just making no progress and wasting your time.
Or stuck in Hanford water for 5 days waiting for a weather window.
You might spill your cup of tea if you're fighting the wind and beating to windward, or your cakes might not rise.
Why won't they rise?
The air gets knocked out of them.
Completely.
Once you've selected your chosen destination, you are ready to start planning the passage.
When planning a trip, we find it easiest to think of the process backwards and start with when we want to get to our destination.
Our first rule is that we don't like to arrive somewhere new when it's dark.
It's always easier and safer to park up when you can see the surroundings.
Anchorages aren't too much of a problem.
But marinas and harbours can be a total nightmare If you don't know the way and the navigational lights have to be picked out from a background of streetlights
or a fun fair
or a firework display,
you get the idea.
The really fun part of passage planning for us is getting to make a mess over every flat surface on the boat.
With charts,
almanacs,
pilot guide
and tidal atlases. Obviously, this is a below decks operation, as it would be just disastrous to see your expensive paper charts fly overboard from the cockpit.
We use the Reeds and Cruising Association almanacs and purchase them on alternate years.
The almanacs are a good starting point to get an overview of the passage and destination.
Which almanac do we like best?
I like the Cruising Association one.
They're all good in different ways.
Yeah, that's true. The CA one has quite good... I think it has more local info, has more detailed local info.
I think the CAE one has more useful information. The Reeds one tends to have tons of information, but not a lot of it's relevant, like, you know, how expensive the marina was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You just need to know the current price and the inflation rate for a bit of future planning. You don't need to know how expensive it was a couple years ago. You just need to know the price and its price inflation.
You just need the website so you can go up there and get the bang up-to-date information or phone them.
What about the inflation?
Well, if you phone them, you don't have to calculate inflation.
Yeah, and no point in second-guessing it because they might have gone up more than inflation.
Exactly. Also, with the Reeds, you get the marina guide, which is quite handy to have marina plans.
Yeah, their maps are quite handy because if you haven't got internet as you're going into a marina and they're telling you which pontoon you're on, you can actually look it up.
We'd like to confirm any entries in the almanac with the relevant harbour website to get the most up-to-date information.
We've also found visitmyharbour.com to be useful and content-rich, although the website is tricky to navigate.
There are various apps available now that will show marina facilities. I've checked out a few and I don't have any recommendations at the moment. The ones I have seen visually look amazing, but the content is pretty poor.
If you have a recommendation, let us know.
We have just purchased the PBO Small Craft Almanac for the first time.
It's a lot smaller and cheaper than the other two almanacs that we use, but it's got a lot less content and no port info and no harbour plans.
The jury's out on this one, but if it proves to be useful, we'll add it to the almanac rotation.
We will keep you posted on our decision.
We have also found the Imray Pilot Guides and the Clyde Cruising Club Pilot Guides for Scotland extremely informative.
We carry paper charts on Happy Afloat and do actually use them.
On board we have all the Imray Sea Series charts to circumnavigate the UK.
Now, you may ask why. In this electronic age, do we still bother with paper?
After all, we do have a dedicated marine chart plotter in the cockpit on our boat.
A tablet at the chart table running Navionics.
A mobile phone with Navionics.
The tablet and mobile also have Admiralty charts, and we have Antares charts for the anchorages in Scotland.
In our experience, power failure can easily bring the electronics down.
Whether it's a poorly battery bank on its way out,
an alternator not charging properly,
or our last issue, a battery isolation switch randomly turning off all the power.
How long will your mobile phone last on a single charge when working hard as a chart plotter?
Make sure you have some battery power banks handy and then dig out the paper charts.
We have a paper chart at the chart table and update our position on a regular basis.
We use a Yeoman plotter with the paper charts.
It's old tech and only available secondhand now, but we think it's great and have installed one on every boat we've owned.
For those that have never seen or used a Yeoman, simply put, it's a mouse that once calibrated to your chart allows you to quickly plot your position.
You feed the Yeoman a GPS signal that the mouse displays as LED indicators.
The indicators show which direction to move the mouse.
When all the LEDs turn off, that's your current position under the crosshairs.
It's so simple that young kids can put a plot on the chart with ease.
What do you think, boys? Is the Yeoman easy to use?
Definitely.
After we've gathered our sources of information and studied them, we identify possible routes for our passage and then note any potential obstacles, which could be tidal or physical or both.
When we've chosen what we consider to be the best route, it's time to move on to the next part of the planning process.
Drawing! We draw lines on our charts to plan our route and avoid any obstacles that might be lurking in our way.
Any lines on the chart will have a bearing and distance written next to them as a quick reference on which way to point the boat and for how far.
We then also input our route into the Navionics app, which we use as our backup chart plotter.
Sometimes we plan the route on the tablet, running the Navionics app first, then transfer the details manually to the chart.
If you're doing your planning on the Navionics, and especially if you use the auto route function, make sure you zoom in on the route at maximum detail level and follow the route from start to finish.
The app may take you closer to rocks or shallows than you're comfortable with.
When we are happy with the Navionics route, it is wisely transferred from the tablet to the Raymarine chart plotter in the cockpit.
Next, we move on to the all-important timing.
From the chart, we measure out the distance and divide it by our cruising speed.
We've found that 5 knots is about right for us, especially if we need to punch tide for half the trip.
Now we know how long it is likely to take.
We think about how to maximise use of favourable tides on passage, and whether we need to factor in the passing of any headlands with distinct tidal gates.
And whether the tidal height will have any impact on the final destination.
Some of the approaches to our favourite destinations are only accessible at certain states of the tide.
There's a theme here. Tide, tide and more tide.
Conrad, we usually put you in charge of working out high and low water. How do you do it?
Well, what I'd normally do is we've got the Gillingham stuff for our tides.
So that'd be for our local trip, wouldn't it?
Yep. We also have to double check it on BBC because of the fact we quite often have found mistakes in it, such as the tides are 1 hour off. For example, when it's got something like it suddenly changes to British summertime, or occasionally, literally at random, they forget to add or take off the extra hour when they've pre-sorted it.
Yes, for a tide table they've actually charged us money for, it is pretty inaccurate in certain places, isn't it? There's a lot of errors in it.
And yet, isn't BBC pretty much free?
Yes, but the BBC only gives you 7 days.
And Gillingham gives you 2 years.
Of possibly.
And random guesswork.
What the tide might or may not be.
Yeah, like once the Gillingham stuff just darted 1 hour back for no reason.
Yes, though we have got other sources of tidal information, which are?
Our tide tables, which I've mentioned, our almanacs, and, like I said, BBC.
Sailing in UK waters will always involve varying elements of tide.
So, working backwards from any tidal gates, we calculate a time to leave.
We have a number of sources for tidal stream info.
The almanacs and pilot guides.
And the IMRAE sea charts have an hourly pictogram printed on them.
You can also use the Navionics app to cycle through the tidal streams.
However, a system we have used for years is the one found in the book called The Yachtsman's Tidal Atlas by Michael Reeve Folks.
Armed with the Cherbourg tide table, you will have a quick method of checking all sorts of tidal information on passage.
Unfortunately, the system only works for the southern half of England.
But we're such fans that we have a copy of the East Coast section laminated so we can wipe it clean between uses.
We always dig out our Reeve Folks whenever we leave the Medway.
Reeve Folks, is it easy to use?
Yes, very easy. Very accurate, and it works.
Yeah, it is old paper-based tech these days.
Yes, but if you're a fan of paper-based tech, then it's great.
It's a good backup system.
Well, like we've said, old tech's good. We literally just said the Ye Omen's pretty old now, yet it's still a very valuable thing among cruising.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Ye Omen's not more popular than it is.
Our passage plan is written on a whiteboard mounted in the nav station area.
We have a board with designated areas to write useful information we need on passage, including high and low water tide times and tidal heights,
distance to our destinations and ETAs,
weather forecasts, more about forecasts later,
and space to include any other useful information like the VHF channels for port control.
See our Facebook page for a photo of the board.
It helps the whole crew to know what's happening and when to expect it. So once we feel confident that our passage has been planned to near perfection, We have a crew meeting to discuss the plan.
Obviously, the crew meeting, it does involve some attention to detail, which can float past the daydreamers, so the whiteboard is an excellent backup.
Once the passage plan has been made, it's time to get ready to depart.
For us, this is always an exciting time in setting off for a new destination.
The kids love a night sail.
Because we're allowed to eat anything we want in the cockpit.
And we all love the sunrise watch, which is often accompanied by dolphins swimming alongside the boat.
On passage, we have the following systems running.
At the chart table, an Android tablet running Navionics.
The Yeoman plotter for the paper charts.
And an old mobile phone acting as a repeater for the speed log, depth and wind instruments.
We also have a VHF radio that also receives AIS data.
So we can get a warning if a large ship is about to run us down, or more importantly, to see if the anchorage is a little busy.
All the instruments and plotters are networked either directly or via Wi-Fi.
This means the AIS data is available to the cockpit chart plotter or any smart device running the right app.
So you can keep an eye on the situation when off watch from your bunk.
Raymarine also has an app that repeats the display of the chart plotter we have in the cockpit.
In the cockpit, we have the Raymarine instruments, depth, wind, speed, autopilot head unit and chart plotter, which are all networked. And a magnetic compass too.
We also keep a handheld VHF radio to hand in the cockpit.
Now it's a simple case of sailing the plotted route and keeping the written log and paper charts up to date.
While looking out for wildlife, everyone.
Boys, we tend to leave you in charge of the written log. What data gets collected?
Well, for starters, our actual log, and then engine on or off, wind speed and direction, our course, the barometer readings. However, they're usually only varying by one throughout the entire trip. And any remarks we want.
Let's talk about weather forecasts.
On our whiteboard passage planner, we write up the inshore forecast, which we either get from the BBC website, the announcements from the Coast Guard on the VHF, or from the Navtex.
Our Navtex unit is from NASA Marine. It's a Bluetooth version. It stores the forecast until you access the data via an app.
For planning, we used XC Weather or the Windy app so we can see what's likely to be heading our way in a few days' time.
With the longer range forecast, we can make decisions on staying put or pressing on to a better spot to have more fun.
We do keep a close watch on the outlook weather-wise. We try to avoid the expense of becoming stuck in a marina for days on end.
Last time we came down the RSC, we knew that a storm was due and would last a couple of days.
We could have popped into a marina at Dunleary near Dublin, but we've been before. It's very expensive and we don't think the facilities match the asking price.
So we cracked on to Milford Haven on an overnight passage where we knew of a great anchorage you could sit out a hurricane. Do you remember we popped into the marina at Milford Haven just to quickly top up supplies before leaving to go to our anchorage, and there was like a shed load of boats coming in to avoid the storm and the...
They thought we were mad for wanting to leave, didn't they?
They said, if you leave now, we won't let you back in.
Yeah, and we left and went to a nice anchorage.
Yeah, they probably did think we were mad considering we'd left right as a storm's about to hit.
The anchorage is right down the river and you could hardly notice there was any wind going on.
It was lovely.
The Marina Weather Station page is blowing a hoolie down there and we had nothing at all.
Yeah, very well protected.
Okay, do we have anything to add about how we navigate? Have we missed anything, boys?
Don't think so.
Radar?
No? Radar, yes, okay. Talk about the radar.
Well, we didn't install it, did we?
No, it came with the boat.
It was from 2002.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how we use it as opposed to
how long it's been on the boat?
And when it was manufactured and the serial number and the barcode and the warranty period.
Have you been learning how to use the radar, Leon?
Yes.
What have you been learning and how have you been learning it?
Well, it has a chart overlay. In fact, I think it's got the charts of where we are now.
It's quite an old chart plotter because it is from 2002. And the charts are very, very out of date, not very, very detailed.
But we don't rely on those charts.
No, we don't use those
anything,
charts.
But it's a useful tool.
In fact,
just for our location.
We only found out they had the local charts on it when you turned it on to see if the radar was working and playing around with the settings.
We do use the radar regardless, but we
not the chart function.
The chart function.
Anything else we need to add about navigation?
We use tide clocks.
Tide clocks?
We do. We've got a tide clock that has been lovingly crafted by my very clever husband. Have a look on our Facebook page for a picture of that. You can have a look on our website to have a look at the tide clocks that Jason's been making.
In fact, you can actually buy one if you're so keen.
Can I explain how it works?
Yes. Conrad, can you explain how a tide clock works?
All right. So, it's pretty similar to a clock. When it points to the top, that's normally high water. The bottom, low water. So he did consider making the joke of when it reaches the bottom, there's what looks like sand on it and it says you've run aground.
Yes, if you want to see our tide clock, have a look at the website. And I think we've got a few that are available to purchase.
We also use webcams from various sites, particularly marinas, as a navigational tool and also to help us when we're arriving at marinas to actually know what it looks like and how busy it is.
We're especially at Ramsgate, because there was one time we were thinking about popping into Ramsgate overnight and we looked at their webcam and they were rafted out 3 deep.
Yeah.
So we thought...
we anchored outside instead.
Yeah, give that a miss.
Yeah.
We haven't discussed our autopilot.
We would be lost without it.
Yeah, the autopilot does most of the work because we don't do a lot of hand steering. It's usually we leave it down to the autopilot to point us in the right direction. We just keep an eye on it.
We're going to weep like babies when it decides to give up the ghost.
How old is the autopilot?
Probably the same age as the rest of the things on this boat.
Actually, contradicting what you've said, we do quite a bit of hand steering on some sails.
If it's going to be fun hand steering, because you're going fast and racing other boats, then we do it. But if it's going to be boring 50 miles in this direction...
and you could be spending your time reading a book or tinkering, doing other jobs on the boat.
And especially if you're motoring as well, which is very boring to hand steer when you're motoring. And then you stick on the autopilot.
And also when you're motoring, you've got enough power to fuel the autopilot without it draining anything.
Correct. Anything else? Yes, there's a new app that we're trialling. IMRAE have their own version of Navionics, which they're calling the IMRAE Navigator. We can download the IMRAE C-Series, well, all their IMRAE charts. If you buy a chart or you buy one of their pilot books, you now get a year subscription to some of the charts in the area of the pilot.
Does he?
Yeah, so because we bought the East Coast pilot, we've got all the charts for the East Coast up to Scotland.
New news to me.
I really don't like the app.
All right.
It seems to be a bit funny the way it works. But yeah, so the jury's out on that one. We're giving it a go, but I'm not so sure that it's going to be a go in the future.
Well, if it does work, then it's going to be a brilliant recommendation. Think about it. We've got all of the charts pretty much. And then if you've got the charts, then it's much better for it. Because like you said, you get a subscription and some of the charts with it. If you've actually bought the hard copies, it's a win-win.
Correct. By now, you would have gathered that we like to have multiple sources of the same data in different formats.
We like to be able to compare, contrast, and cross-reference.
Over the top?
Probably.
But our family motto is...
belt.
Braces.
And a bit of string just in case our trousers fall down.
Okay. We know how to get to that awesome anchorage.
But how do we go about anchoring when we arrive?
That's a conversation for another day.
Thank you for sticking us in your ears.
Have we got any feedback?
Yes. After following Conrad's book recommendation, a young listener has finished the School Ship Tobermory series and wants to know if we've any other recommendations.
Over to you, Conrad.
Today, I'll be recommending the Helen Moss Adventure Island book series. I've read through all we've got in our box set we did buy However, since we bought it, more have come out.
Right.
So they're kind of detective books. Basic idea is at the start there's some kind of case. Sometimes the case, however, gets more discovered as it progresses. And over the book, Emily, Jack and Scott, who are the main characters, have to solve the case, often with many problems on the way.
Where is the story set?
In, as far as I know, a fictional place in Cornwall called Castle Quay. Basically imagine modern Famous Five, with three, not five.
Four?
Oh yeah, I forgot, counting the dog was a thing.
Just to recap, what the book's called and who are they by?
So the book's called Adventure Island. It's a really big series now. And it's by Helen Moss.
If you've got any questions or a book recommendation, let us know.
We love feedback.
Send an email or a posting on Facebook. All relevant links are on the website, happyafloat.com.
If you would like to help us grow, spread the word. As my mum says, it's nice to share.
And if you know someone who would enjoy the podcast, direct them to our website, happyafloat.com.
From our website, they can listen to the podcast. Sharing is caring.
And don't forget to follow us in your favourite podcast app, happyafloat.com.
News and updates.
Have we got any news?
The boat has been out on the hard for a month.
Yes, those of you that do actually follow us on Facebook will probably have seen a picture of the boat coming out of the water and being painted.
So she's had a clean, she's had a new propeller.
Hold on. We'll do an entire episode on all the modifications.
On the hard. And,
yeah, on the yeah, hard.
On the hard. On the hard.
Tales from the hard.
Exactly. Yes. All the trials and tribulations and what we did and didn't do and what we're going to need to do. Yes. So, since our last episode, we have gone on a number of weekend sales, had loads of barbecues.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice weather for the weekend sales, isn't it?
And it was fantastic weather while the boat was on the hard. We were on the hard for a month. And it was fantastic, lovely sort of nice sailing weather.
And the boat went back in the water and the weather turned.
And we were in a mosquito-infested corner of the boatyard, so every time we got out, we're getting hot and sweaty and then eaten alive. But yes, all those stories will be for another time, I think.
Yeah.
Apart from the mosquitoes.
Any other news that we need to discuss this time?
Why you said I'm surprised you found us?
Because we're out in the heart. Next time aboard Happy Afloat.
How we anchor.
And tales from the hard.
Until next time, happy sailing.